Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska, I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up on What's for Dinner today, Sunday dinner, also celebrating Julia Child once again for her 100th birthday, the drink of the week, and my sweet tooth, all this coming up on What's for Dinner.
La femme porte quelquefois la culotte dans son ménage. Le fait est constaté, je crois, dans les liens du mariage. Mais quand elle va pédalant en culotte comme un zouave, la chose me semble plus grave.
Support for What's for Dinner comes from Hammer and Wecan Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery, and meat department, with delivery and van service available. Hammer and Wecan Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921.
La femme ayant l'air d'un garçon ne fut jamais très attrayante.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. And sometimes I cook real flops. This week,
I have no idea what we ate at my house this week. As I was looking back at the week, thinking, what did we eat?
Nothing really memorable, really. I made some soup and there's always some sort of tortillas involved with leftovers this week, I think. I was so busy, I don't think I really had time to cook for my family. My daughter kept calling me up and saying, what can I have? And so she was on her own a lot this week making, she made some nice scrambled eggs with tortillas in the mornings. She made some more again. I think she ate a lot of cereal this week. No, we did eat, but nothing too memorable at my house. But I have plans for this week. We'll be cooking a lot. I'm going to bake a chicken. We did have chicken last week as well. Be baking a chicken this week, and Julia Child has me very inspired to make some beef bourguignon, so I'm going to give you that recipe coming up, and I'll be making that this week. But I am going to give you the recipe for the cheese ball I made this weekend. Everyone always asks me, can I have that cheese ball recipe? And it's so easy and great. So here it is. 2 packages of cream cheese. Also, you need about 3/4 cup of some sort of very strong cheese, like a crumbled blue cheese or gorgonzola or feta cheese, 3/4 cup of that. Also, 1 cup of shredded sharp cheddar cheese, and a finely chopped onion. Having finely chopped onion is super important in this cheese ball, but if you don't have finely chopped onion, you could use some dried onion flakes, as long as you have some onion in there. But also the Worcestershire sauce is super important in this cheese ball. It gives it that little bit of a tang. And chopped parsley for the outside of the cheese ball. Finely chopped parsley. Maybe sprinkle some on the plate, but that's good for it too. So you just put the cheeses in a bowl and let them stand at room temperature for about 30 minutes or until softened. And then you beat the onion and Worcestershire sauce into the cheeses with an electric mixer on low speed until they're nice and mixed. About 1 to 2 minutes, make sure you're scraping the bowl, and it's best if it becomes nice and fluffy. And then cover and refrigerate that, and it's best to refrigerate it for about
8 hours. You want to shape it into a ball after that, and then once you've done that, you can roll it in your chopped parsley, put on a serving plate. And then you can cover and refrigerate that for a couple hours until firm, and then serve it with crackers. So there you go. That's the good cheese ball recipe, and I have that. I can give you a copy of it if you email mindy@kfsk.org. Also, I gave you a buttermilk dressing recipe a while back, but lots of good salads lately. So here is also the other buttermilk dressing recipe that I made this weekend. I used scape pesto, which it's going to be pretty hard to find a scape pesto this time of the year, unless you made it yourself and put some in the freezer. But this is a buttermilk dressing. I used yogurt. So I used, let's say, the same amount of yogurt and buttermilk. So if you're going to use a cup of yogurt, you're going to want a cup of buttermilk. And that'll give you a nice amount of dressing to use. And a couple tablespoons of vinegar. I also used some lemon, some cracked pepper, and some herbs. So because you might not have scape pesto, you could use a chimichurri for this. You could use even a basil pesto. You could just use a mix of fresh herbs and a little bit of olive oil with a little garlic. Put it through the food processor and then put it into your buttermilk mixture. Or you can just puree a bunch of herbs and some garlic, vinegar, some lemon, the cracked pepper, all together, and you're going to come up with a really nice buttermilk dressing. So this is super great with a lot of the vegetables that are coming out right now. The kids could dunk a little bit of their vegetables into the dressing. You can use it instead of ranch. So this is a really good dressing recipe I wanted to share with you. And then this cheese ball. And that's pretty much it for this week. Hopefully next week I'll have a little more to offer you for my own cooking at my house. But coming up next, we're going to celebrate Julia Child's 100th birthday, which was on Friday of last week. And it's a big celebration. You know, she was the first celebrity chef out there on TV, and look where we've come since then. That's coming up on What's for Dinner.
Village au fond de la vallée, comme égaré, presque ignoré, voici quand la nuit est étoilée, Jean-François Nico, il se nomme, il est jour plus tendre et rosé.
Support for What's for Dinner comes from Inga's Galley, serving locally grown food and fresh cost seafood, including sandwiches, curries, kebabs, and salads. Fresh king salmon and shrimp is on the menu, as well as a spicy pork sandwich on a ciabatta roll. Inga's Galley, with heated outdoor seating downtown. Beer and wine available. 772-2090.
Bœuf bourguignon. French beef stew in red wine. We're going to serve it with braised onions and mushrooms and a wine dark sauce. It's a perfectly delicious dish. I better taste it. Thank you. child. Welcome to the French Chef and the first show on our series on French cooking. We're going to make bœuf bourguignon, beef stew and red wine. And it's a wonderful show to begin our series on because it shows you so many useful things about French cooking. How to brown meat, how to braise onions, how to sauté mushrooms, how to make a wonderful sauce. And you make a bœuf bourguignon just the way you make any other kind of a stew, like chicken coq au vin. You can make lamb this way or veal this way. And now here's our beef. And I've made quite a few beef stews lately getting ready for this program. And I've tried several different cuts.
And that's Julia Child on her first beef bourguignon show on The French Chef. Julia Child, who made French cooking so famous, and, of course, celebrity chefs famous on TV. I'm going to give you that beef bourguignon recipe here shortly. But first, here's a few quotes from Julia. A party without cake is just a meeting. I like that one. Here's one I really like. Find something you're passionate about and keep tremendously interested in it. I was 32 when I started cooking. Up until then, I just ate. I'm not going to give all of these that I have, but there's several more here, of course. The only time to eat diet food is while you're waiting for the steak to cook. She also said, the only real stumbling block is fear of failure. In cooking, you've got to have what-the-hell attitude. And if you're afraid of butter, use cream. I think every woman should have a blowtorch. Always start out with a larger pot than what you think you need. She also said, you don't have to cook fancy or complicated masterpieces, just good food from fresh ingredients. She also said, fat gives things flavor. And until I discovered cooking, I was never really interested in anything. And she said, people who love to eat are always the best people. Anyway, those are from Julia Child. So, you know, Julia Child, she liked to cook with lots of wooden spoons. So, huge wooden spoon collection and huge knife collection. And actually, I found out that one of her favorite knives is a 10-inch chef's knife, which is what I use. And a lot of people think it's a kind of a big chef knife, and they're kind of scared of it when they pick it up and they start chopping with it. I'm so used to having such a big chef's knife, but I love it. And so as I was reading about what she loved to cook with, I was very happy to see that she loved cooking with a 10-inch chef's knife. So today, I'm just giving you a few of Julia's recipes. I'll start off with one of the most complicated ones, the beef bourguignon, which is one of my favorite dishes. And I'm inspired to, once again, cook it. It takes a long time. It takes a lot of wine. And then we're going to go on to some simpler recipes of Julia Child's that are pretty easy for most everybody to make. But we'll start off with beef bourguignon, and hopefully this will inspire you to do something like this, some sort of stew. I don't know. Do you feel like it's fall coming up here and feeling like the stew is going to happen soon? I do. This, of course, is from her book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, Volume 1. And it does take a little under 4 hours, moderate skill level, and this is for 6 people, so perfect for a dinner party. And it's one of her most famous dishes. But it is, she says it's really one of the most delicious beef dishes concocted by man, and I agree. You need a 3-ounce chunk of bacon. You need a tablespoon of olive oil or cooking oil. 3 pounds of lean stewing beef cut into 2-inch cubes, 1 sliced carrot, 1 sliced onion, 1 teaspoon of salt, and you're going to need some pepper, 2 tablespoons of flour, 3 cups of full-bodied young red wine, such as a Chianti, one of my favorites, 2 to 3 cups of brown beef stock or canned beef stock, 1 tablespoon of tomato paste, 2 cloves of mashed garlic, 1/2 teaspoon of thyme, 1 crumbled bay leaf, blanched bacon rind. Not really sure why you need that if you're just using the bacon, but she says blanched bacon rind. 18 to 24 small white onions, brown, braised in stock. 1 pound of quartered fresh mushrooms, sautéed in butter. Parsley sprigs, 9 to 10 inch fireproof casserole, 3 inches deep, and a slotted spoon. So here she says, remove the bacon rind and cut bacon into lardons, 1/2 inch thick and 1.5 inches long. Simmer the rind and bacon for 10 minutes in 1.5 quarts of water. Drain and dry. You know, it's really hard for us to get a whole chunk of bacon here. But every now and then, you can find it. Preheat your oven to 450. Saute the bacon in oil over moderate heat for 2 to 3 minutes to brown lightly. Remove to a side dish with a slotted spoon. Set your casserole aside and reheat until the fat is almost smoking before you saute the beef. This next step is very important. You want to make sure you dry the beef in paper towels. If it's damp, it's not going to brown, and I learned my lesson on that a long time ago. Always dry the beef. Saute it, a few pieces at a time, in hot oil and bacon fat until it's nicely browned on all sides, and then add it to the bacon. When you're cutting up beef for beef bourguignon, it's not like bite-sized pieces like you might make for a stew. And then it's not just huge pieces either. You want them to be, like, if you look at the palm of your hand, you might want to make your pieces about half that size. Then, in the same fat, brown the sliced vegetables, and then pour out the saute fat that you've been using. Return the beef and bacon to the casserole and toss with salt and pepper, then sprinkle on the flour and toss again to coat the beef lightly with the flour. Set the casserole uncovered in medium position of a preheated oven for 4 minutes. Toss the meat and return to oven for 4 minutes more. This browns the flour and covers the meat with a light crust. Remove the casserole and turn the oven down to 325. So, then you stir in your wine and enough stock so that the meat is barely covered. Add the tomato paste, garlic, herbs, and the bacon rind. Bring to simmer on top of the stove, and then cover the casserole and set in the lower third of your preheated oven. You want the heat, you want the liquid to simmer out, so you're going to watch it for 2.5 to 3 hours. You don't want the liquid to just boil out right away. It needs to sit. Then the meat is done when the fork pierces it easily. So when the beef is cooking, you can prepare the onions and the mushrooms. So when you're making sautéed mushrooms in butter, that's not too difficult. You don't add salt to them right away. A lot of times you could use thyme, or like in the case of French cooking, you might want to use some tarragon, but put your butter in your saute pan, slice your onions, and just saute them, the butter, until they're going to become fragrant and they're going to start releasing their juices, and that's when you're going to add a little bit of salt and pepper and then maybe your herbs. and then you're done. In the case of the small onions, if you're going to braise them in beef stock, stock braised onions, then you're going to, same thing, get out your saute pan, and you can add a little bit of butter to the pan. Add your onions, your small ones. A lot of times you just find those in even the frozen section of the grocery store. But now we can find onions in gardens, or Farragut Farm might bring some. Chelan might have some of the smaller onions. You could use those. And you're going to saute those in butter for a little bit. Add also, if you'd like, some thyme and tarragon. You're going to add some beef stock to the onions and saute those in some beef stock as well. And then that beef stock's going to boil out and thicken up, and those onions are going to become nice and braised and brown. And that's how you want them. So, when the meat is tender, pour the contents of the casserole into a sieve set over a saucepan. Wash out the casserole and return the beef and bacon to it. Distribute the cooked onions and the mushrooms over the meat. You've taken all the liquid off of there. Skim the fat off the sauce. Simmer the sauce for a minute or two, skimming off additional fat. And then you have about 2.5 cups of the sauce, thick enough to coat a spoon nicely. It's nice and thick. If it's too thin, boil it down. If it's too thick, mix in a few tablespoons of stock. Taste, season, pour the sauce over the meat and the vegetables. And for immediate serving, you cover the casserole and simmer for 2 to 3 minutes. Basting the meat and vegetables with the sauce. You can serve it in the casserole dish, or you can arrange the stew on a platter surrounded with potatoes, noodles, or rice, and make sure you garnish with a little bit of chopped parsley. If you're going to serve it later, which sometimes is better, after you've cooled it down, cover and refrigerate it. About 20 minutes before serving, bring to a simmer. Cover and simmer very slowly for about 10 minutes, occasionally basting the meat and vegetables with the sauce. So take it out of the fridge, let it sit for a little bit, and then bring it to a simmer on your stovetop. And there you have it, her beef bourguignon recipe. Kind of the thing that you don't really see that often in beef bourguignon, and you do in hers, is that she takes the liquid, the braising liquid, off of the meat and strains it and then puts it back on. So that's a whole other step, rather than just leaving it all in there and serving it. So there you have it. And you can find a video of Julia Child cooking her beef bourguignon on YouTube, the old PBS video. And she'll show you how to saute the onions, and she'll show you how to also brown, or saute the mushrooms and brown the onions. We're going to go to another one of her classic recipes, her béarnaise sauce. This is also in her book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, Volume 1. Every time when I get a little bit of time, you know, when I'm at home and I'm looking through cookbooks, I love to pull out Mastering the Art of French Cooking, because there's so much information in there. And you really do have to read. It's not just looking through cookbooks these days with all the big, beautiful pictures that I love as well. But with her cookbook, there are some drawings in there. And by the way, she did a lot of those drawings herself. And a lot of drawings in there on how to cook. You know, all the diagrams, all the steps. And it's nice because it's a good read. You have to actually read through this book and learn how to cook. And, of course, try the dishes. But here's her béarnaise ASOS. You know, skill level, moderate. Doesn't take very long to make. But the nice thing about her Béarnaise sauce, it's good with steaks, fish, chicken, egg dishes, all sorts of dishes. And you start off with a quarter cup of wine vinegar, a quarter cup of dry white wine or dry white vermouth, 1 tablespoon of mixed shallots or green onions. I would use the shallots. 1 tablespoon of minced fresh tarragon or 1/2 tablespoon of dried tarragon, 1/8 teaspoon of pepper, 1 pinch of salt, 3 egg yolks, 2 tablespoons of cold butter, 1/2 to 2/3 cup of melted butter, and 2 tablespoons of fresh minced tarragon or parsley. You also need to have a small saucepan, and you kind of make this like you do Hollandaise sauce. You're going to boil the vinegar, the wine, the shallots, and the onions. Add herbs and seasonings over moderate heat in your sauté pan until it's reduced down to 2 tablespoons. So you're taking, you know, 1/2 cup of liquid plus the herbs and boiling it down to 2 tablespoons. So it's going to be delicious and intense flavored. Then, just like you're making Hollandaise sauce, you beat the egg yolks until thick. Strain in the vinegar mixture so you don't have all the onion and the herbs in there. Then you're going to beat the egg yolks with that mixture. Beat, beat, beat. Then add 1 tablespoon of cold butter and thicken the egg yolks over low heat. Beat in the other tablespoon of cold butter, then the melted butter, just a little bit at a time. Then you're going to add salt and pepper and beat in the tarragon or the parsley at the end. So you're just slowly adding the butter to the egg yolks as they're warming up so that you don't cook the egg yolks and the butter melts slowly in the egg yolks. And you can do this over a sauté pan with, or a saucepan with hot water in it, and just do this in a bowl over the top so it doesn't get too hot on the stovetop. And serve it over, oh my goodness, over like some, like a rib steak or flank steak or, oh, delicious, or over a nice piece of broiled chicken, like a chicken hindquarter, some of that sauce over the top. Or what about salmon on the grill? Delicious, with this over the top. Very decadent. Yum. Julia Child's Béarnaise sauce from her book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking. I wanted to give you some of her basics today, so I decided on this cream of mushroom soup. And this is really easy to make. And I was just talking to somebody about cream of mushroom soup yesterday because I was given some chicken of the woods mushrooms. It's that time of the year, and I can't wait to cook them. So here is her recipe for cream of mushroom soup. 4 tablespoons of butter, 1 cup of minced onion or the white of a leek, 1/4 cup of flour, 1 cup of hot chicken stock. So if you want to get the kind in the box at the grocery store, that's fine, or you might have your own. 6 cups of milk, 1 quart of fresh mushrooms, trimmed, washed, and diced. 1/4 teaspoon of dried tarragon. 1/2 cup or more of heavy cream, sour cream, or creme fraiche. Some salt and freshly ground white pepper. Drops of lemon juice, which are optional. And then some sprigs of fresh tarragon or slices of sautéed fresh mushroom caps for garnish. Super easy to make. Sauté the onion or leek with the butter in a heavy bottoms covered saucepan for 7 to 8 minutes until tender and translucent. Blend in the flour and cook slowly for 2 or 3 minutes. It's going to get very, very thick. Take it off the heat and then gradually whisk in the hot stock. Make sure you're using a whisk for this. Bring to a simmer over moderate heat and then whisk in the milk. So you're going to get this thick hot stock going and then you add the milk and it'll become creamy. For the mushrooms, blend in the mushrooms and dried tarragon and simmer 20 minutes, stirring frequently to prevent scorching. You can stir in optional cream, simmer briefly, and season to taste, adding drops of lemon juice if needed. Garnish with some tarragon and or with sautéed mushroom slices floated on each serving. Yum. Or you could even toast up some bread. That would be really good. And float that in the middle. Or you can make green bean casserole with homemade mushroom soup. The green beans are so good right now. And that was our discussion the other day. It's like, oh, you know, I should make some homemade mushroom soup and then make a green bean casserole with it. Because we like green bean casserole, right? And homemade mushroom soup, yum. You can do so much with it. You can just eat it fresh like that, too. Of course, Julia Child always liked chicken, and she cooked a lot of chicken. Her memorable chicken show where she had, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 different chickens, had them all lined up on the front counter and talked about each one of them. And I think I played a clip of that a few years back. But just great. She knows a lot about chicken. And I'm going to give you her simple chicken salad recipe. It's very easy. You need 6 cups of cooked chicken cut up into nice size pieces. Salt and ground white pepper. 1 to 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 to 3 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, 1 cup of diced tender celery stalks, 1/2 cup of diced red onion, 1 cup of chopped walnuts, 1/2 cup of chopped parsley, 1 teaspoon of finely cut fresh tarragon leaves, or you can use 1/4 teaspoon of dried tarragon, 2/3 cup or so of mayonnaise, some fresh salad greens, washed and dried, and a choice of sliced or chopped hard-boiled eggs, parsley sprigs, strips of red pimento. So you're going to toss the chicken with salt and pepper, olive oil, lemon juice, celery, onion, and walnuts. That just sounds amazing already. But what I like about it is you cover and refrigerate that for about 20 minutes or overnight. That's a whole step with chicken salad that I've never done before. So the olive oil, the lemon juice, the celery, the onion, toss it all together with the chicken. Let it sit overnight and all those flavors will marry together. Then if there's any liquid in the bowl the next day or after you've let it sit in the refrigerator for a while, you drain that out and then you toss the parsley and the tarragon in. And then correct the seasonings. Fold in just enough mayonnaise to make it all come together. And you can shred greens, arrange them on a platter, mound the salad on top, put a little thin coat of mayonnaise over the chicken, and decorate with eggs, parsley, and pimento strips. I can just taste that right now. I love chicken, and I am definitely going to try her chicken salad recipe, and you should try it too, because we're going to celebrate her 100th birthday, so you got to try one of these recipes. Okay, we have all these muscles around, and I hardly ever take muscles and cook them. You know, every now and then we do, but I should more often, because they're so delicious. So I decided to share her fresh mussels steamed open with wine and flavorings recipe from her cookbook, Mastering the Art of French Cooking. this is so easy to do, and it doesn't cost that much money. Of course, we have mussels here. So they're steamed in a big pot and, you know, flavored with wine and other herbs. And delicious. 2 cups of light dry wine, white wine, or 1 cup of dry white vermouth, 1/2 cup of minced shallots or green onions or finely minced onions. Once again, I would use the shallots. And remember, at Hammer & Weekon, they have them all ready to go for you in the little plastic container. 8 parsley sprigs, 1/2 bay leaf, 1/4 teaspoon of thyme, 1/8 teaspoon of pepper, 6 tablespoons of butter, 6 quarts of scrubbed soaked mussels, 1/2 cup of roughly chopped parsley, and 8 to 10 quart enameled kettle with a cover. So, of course, these are mussels that are clinging to rocks that you can go out and get. And before they can be cooked, you need to remove all the possible sand from their interiors and get, you know, rid of the slime or dirt that might be on the shells. And if the mussels aren't firmly closed, you want to make sure that you just pitch those. You want to scrub each mussel clean with a brush under running water. Scrape off any of those like little tuft hairs or anything like that that is sticking to them on one side, and then put them in a fresh bucket of water for an hour or two, and then they'll get rid of their sand and they'll lose some of that saltiness. Then take them out of the water, put them into a colander, wash and drain them, and they're ready to cook. So, here's how you cook them. Bring the wine to a boil in a kettle with the rest of the ingredients, and then boil for 2 to 3 minutes to evaporate the alcohol and reduce its volume slightly. Then you add your mussels, cover tightly, and boil quickly over high heat. You're adding these to the kettle. Every now and then you want to give them a little bit of a, you know, if you can hold on to the kettle and give them a little shake to move them around a little bit. And then about 5 minutes, the shells will swing open and the mussels are done. Dip the mussels into wide soup plates. Allow the cooking liquid to settle for a moment so that any sand will sink to the bottom. And ladle the liquid over the mussels, sprinkle with parsley, and serve. Doesn't that sound delicious with that wonderful wine mixture? You know, we do clams like that a lot, right? So your minced shallots, your parsley, your bay leaf, your thyme, your pepper, and your butter, all cooked up together. Then you're going to steam your mussels. Once they're open, you're going to add them to a bowl. Pour the liquid over the top, and delicious. Excellent mussels. You can serve some linguine on the side. Yum. That would be delicious. I'm going to give you one more recipe. This is kind of a sweet recipe. Apple Charlotte. And, of course, apples, bread, rum, which you could leave out if you really wanted to. This is a delicious dessert. It's got rum and apricot, and it's molded, it's butter-soaked. Yum, delicious. You need 6 pounds of cooking apples, and you can use Golden Delicious for this, she says. 1 cup of granulated sugar, 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract, and 1/4 cup of dark rum. Also, 3 tablespoons of butter and 10 to 12 slices of homemade white bread, 4 inches square and 1/4 inch thick. If you don't make homemade white bread, just buy it. 1 cup of clarified butter, 1/2 cup of apricot preserves and forced through a sieve so all the chunks are out. 3 more tablespoons of dark rum, some granulated sugar. This is moving on to the second part of the dish. You need a heavy bottom stainless or enameled pan. You need a wooden spoon. You need a 6-cup mold and a serving platter. Quarter and peel the core and core the apples and slice them into 1/8-inch pieces, which will be about 4 quarts. You're going to put those in a pan and cover and cook over very low heat for about 20 minutes until they're tender. Then uncover and beat in the apricot preserves that you've strained, sugar, vanilla, rum, and butter. You're going to boil that mixture and stir continuously until the water content has evaporated about 20 more minutes. It's going to be like a delicious applesauce almost. It should be very thick and very stiff paste, which holds itself in a solid mass in the spoon. Preheat your oven to 425. Remove the crusts from the bread and cut a square and 4 semicircles of bread to fit the bottom of the mold exactly. So whatever your mold is like. Sauté to a very light golden color in 3 or 4 tablespoons of the clarified butter. So you're just making little toasts out of the bread by frying them in the butter. Fit them into the bottom of the mold, cut the rest of the bread into strips, and dip in the clarified butter, and fit them, overlapping each other, around the inner circumference of the mold. So you know what this is going to taste like, right? This buttery, crispy goodness of bread on the outside, and then the apple on the inside, and trim off the protruding ends so they don't hang over the mold. Pack the apple puree into the mold, allowing it to form a dome about 3/4 inch high in the middle. Cover with 4 or 5 butter-dipped bread strips that you've already fried in butter. Pour any remaining clarified butter over the ends of the bread around the edges of the mold. You're going to set it in a pan and bake in the middle of your preheated oven for 30 minutes. And then slip a knife between the bread and the sides of the mold. If the bread is golden brown, the Charlotte is done. Remove from the oven and let cool for 15 minutes. Reverse the mold onto a serving platter and lift the mold up a few inches. Make sure the sides of the dessert is holding. If it seems like it's not holding, then you need to wait for it to cool a little bit more and to firm up. And then test again after 5 minutes until the mold can safely be removed. Boil the apricot, rum, and sugar until thick and sticky. Spread it over the Charlotte. Serve the dessert hot, warm, or cold with optional sauce or cream. I have got to try that. You know, that would be really good in little individual muffin tins, too. You could make small ones, just little serving size, or in ramekins. Ah, delicious. So there you have it. I've given you some pretty basic recipes. Of course, you can always try the beef bourguignon. Try the béarnaise sauce, but maybe on some salmon or some halibut or something like that this week. You could make some cream of mushroom soup. And if you wanted to, you could use it for another dish. Try the chicken salad and let it sit overnight with the olive oil and the lemon juice and the celery and onion in it, and then add your mayonnaise the next day. Or how about some fresh steamed mussels with wine and flavorings, maybe a little bit of pasta on the side. And then, of course, for dessert, you can make that apple charlotte. So thanks, Julia, for all the great recipes. Coming up next, it's the drink of the week. And yes, it's a French recipe.
mieux que partout ailleurs, au jardin de mon cœur, une petite fleur. Cette fleur, plus jolie qu'un bouquet, elle garde en secret tous mes rêves d'enfant, l'amour de mes parents et tous ces clairs matins faits de ressouvenirs.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I have the drink of the week. And this one is a lemon blueberry, a French lemon blueberry lemonade. So I don't know if we still have a little bit of summer left, but you can make a blueberry puree. Pretty easy to make a puree. Just run it through the blender. And you can add a little lemon juice to the blueberry puree and then push it through a sieve. But this is pretty easy. This is kind of a summery drink. And if you wanted to add some alcohol to it, you could, but this doesn't call for any alcohol. So you start off with some ice, 4 ounces of fresh blueberry puree, 8 ounces of fresh squeezed lemon juice, a pitcher of chilled water, some granulated sugar, fresh blueberries for garnish is optional. This takes about 5 minutes to make if you already have your puree made. If you don't have your puree made, then it'll take a little bit longer, but not long. Just throw those blueberries in the blender and blend them up, push them through a sieve, and there you have it. Put a small amount of ice into 4 glasses. Pour 1 ounce of blueberry puree and 2 ounces of lemon juice into each glass. Add water. Stir in sugar to taste and garnish your drink with blueberries. It's a lemon, blueberry lemon pressé is actually what it's called. So sticking with our French theme today. Thank you, Julia Child. Lemon blueberry pressé. And support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store on Singley Alley, open 7 days a week with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. And finally, since it's Julia Child's 100th birthday, or was, I thought I would give you the recipe for the Queen of Sheba chocolate almond cake from Mastering the Art of French Cooking. This is a cake that actually there's a video on YouTube from PBS that you can watch of Julia making this cake. And that's today's sweet tooth. You're going to butter and flour an 8-inch cake pan. Preheat your oven to 350. Take 4 ounces of semi-sweet chocolate and 2 tablespoons of rum or coffee in a small pan. Cover and place in a larger pan of almost simmering water and let it melt while you proceed with the rest of the recipe. Chocolate and rum, or chocolate and coffee. It already is delicious. Then in a mixing bowl with a wooden spoon, or an electric beater, cream 1 soft stick of butter and 2/3 cup of granulated sugar together for several minutes until they form a pale yellow fluffy mixture. You can be a champion and just whip that with a wooden spoon, but you can also use your electric beater. Beat in 3 egg yolks until well blended. Beat 3 egg whites and a pinch of salt in a separate bowl until soft peaks are formed. And sprinkle on 1 tablespoon of granulated sugar. And beat until stiff peaks are formed.
So now you have your bowl with the butter and the sugar. Now you're going to have your bowl with the and the egg yolks. Now you have your bowl of egg whites, and you also have your rum or coffee and chocolate mixture. With a rubber spatula, blend the melted chocolate into the butter and sugar mixture. Then stir in 1/3 cup of pulverized almonds and 1/4 teaspoon of almond extract. Then you're immediately going to stir in about 1/4 of the egg whites to lighten the batter. Now you're going to start folding in the egg whites alternately with the flour. So fold in 1/3 of the remaining egg whites and then sift in 1/2 cup of, well, you're going to sift in 1/3 of 1/2 cup. So you're going to start off with 1/2 cup of sifted cake flour, but you're only going to stir in about 1/3 of that, and you're going to continue folding. Then you're going to alternate more egg whites and more of that sifted flour. You're going to turn the batter into the cake pan, pushing the batter up to its rim with a rubber spatula. Bake in the middle level of your preheated oven for about 25 minutes. Allow the cake to cool in the pan for 10 minutes. Run a knife around the edge of the pan and reverse the cake onto a cake rack and allow it to cool for 1 hour or 2. To serve it, you use chocolate butter icing. And once you've covered it with like a chocolate butter icing, you can press some almonds over the icing. And on our video there, she'll show you how to do it. So that's the Queen of Sheba chocolate and almond cake. And I love chocolate and almonds together. And I've never had this cake. This serves 6 to 8 people. And it is in the book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking. You can also find it on the internet. And I can share it too, kfsk.org, or mindy@kfsk.org. Just email me and I can get you that recipe. And that's the birthday cake for Julia Child this week on What's for Dinner.
Allô, 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 James, quelle nouvelle, absente depuis 15 jours, au bout du fil, je vous appelle, que trouverai-je à mon retour? Tout va très bien, madame la marquise, tout va très bien, tout va très bien. Pourtant il faut que l'on vous dise, on déplore un tout petit rien, un incident, une bêtise, la mort de votre jument grise. Mais à part ça, madame la marquise, tout va très bien, tout va très bien.
Allô, allô, Martin, quelle nouvelle, ma jument grise, morte aujourd'hui? Expliquez-moi, cocher fidèle, comment cela s'est-il produit?
Cela n'est rien, madame la marquise.
Thanks for joining me today on What's for Dinner. We'll be back next week with more recipes, hopefully to inspire you. Happy eating and happy cooking.